Friends, I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and to verse 14. John, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And my title this morning is Grace and Truth. Grace and Truth, the pillars of salvation. These are the pillars of salvation. Without grace and truth, there will be no salvation. And throughout history, and even in our days, the controversy has always been who Christ is. His deity is what is the controversy. Many people give different meanings and different definitions of who Christ is, and it's a major problem. Even those who are atheists, they believe in something higher. They know there's a superior being, yet they behave as if they don't know. Everybody knows about God, but the issue is Christ. Who Christ is. If you ask anybody about God, easily they will tell you they know who God is. They understand God. But come to Christ, and it's a different story. In fact, without the truth that is written in the Bible, everybody can develop different views about Christ. Or at best, we will have to come up with our own preferences as to how we think Christ is. And they will not be based on the true, the eyewitnesses of those who saw him. Whatever we think cannot be as those who saw him, who worked with him, and got to know who he is, which is what is written in the Bible. This is what John is saying here in chapter 1, verse 14. He is talking about who Christ is. And in fact, this is the heart of Christianity. Without this, there's no Christianity. If you don't know who Christ is, if Christ, as the world is saying, is like an ordinary person like us, then why are we worrying ourselves? But we'll through the scriptures get to know who actually Christ is and why he is the only one. Why he could say that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You see why Christ said all these things. Like I said, almost all the cults, talk about Jehovah's Witnesses, talk about SDA, talk about the Muslims, the Mormons, they all have different views about Christ. And they have all erred because all their definitions about Christ are untrue. Especially his divinity and his humanity. If you go to Jehovah's Witnesses, their argument is always based on his humanity. They are asking, why did he get tired? Why did he feel hungry if he was God? They forget that he was both God and man. So this is what John is saying here, who Christ actually is. That it is God himself who came in the form of Christ so that we can see who God is. We can see him as God has said in the Bible that nobody sees him and live to Moses. In fact, one of our reformers, MacArthur, I'm sure most of you have heard about him. He said something. He said, it is as damning to believe in the wrong Jesus as to believe in no Jesus. And okay, your church here now, Adam. Ɛne ɛnukure ɛno na ɛnkwagye egyina so saa adum ne nukure ni hɔ nom a ɛnkwagye ni hɔ na akyire ne ebɛwie no ebɛhu sɛ saa adum ne nukure nso no ebɛhu no Yesu nkoa mu obie ne wiase a ɔwɔ saa adum no ɛne nukure no ɛka Yesu ho na sɛ nye Bible a sɛ Bible ni hɔ nom a kɛ nyinaa no obiara bɛdwendwen agye foforɔ sɛ hwan ne Yesu asɛm a ɛho wɔ kyindie pa wɔ wiase nyinaa no ɛne Yesu sɛdeɛ ɔyɛ ɔne hwan dinti ɔbaa yi ɛnu na di nsɛm bebree aba ewia ne kura no bra mi ti babra se no ɔgye sɛ mi ti aseɛ mi yɛ sɛ mi hu nyankopɔn no na mi nim nyankopɔn na mi nim who Christ was na mi nti aseɛ about Christ. Why do I need Christ? But as we go on yɛ nyinaa yɛ bɛti aseɛ ɛna mi ka sɛ ɛsum bebraa ɛwɔ wiase mu no ɔmo nyinaa wɔ ɔmo nti aseɛ ɛfa Yesu ho. Ebi si wɔyɛ a very good man nipa papa. Ebi si no wɔyɛ a prophet. Ebi si no wɔyɛ say. Ebi si no wɔyɛ say. Nipa bebree ka nsɛm ɛfa yesu ho nanso sɛ wonom agyina hɔ na wotiatia mu nti saa anɔpa yi yɛsɛ mu yɛ no ɛyɛ bo for the unsaved and the saved. For the saved, you will be able to explain to people who Christ is. If you are confronted in maybe your visitation, you'll be able to explain who Christ is. So Makata said that it is damning, that is, it is dangerous to believe in the wrong Jesus, the same way as those who don't believe at all, the atheists. Now, I will tell you about one very, very strong controversy that came about the deity of Christ and the consequences. There was, before I go on, let me tell you that all these things are the work of Satan. He is the one who has orchestrated all these things. Omuno wa lisa, Yesu obonsam nebi Yesu wansi mwini na haba. Omusi ya ti Yesu asia, he's finished. So biya ti Yesu asia, sede Yesu, dia oye ye ema ena, obonsam nipa obye biyo. Iti obeya, sede beya, nipa enti Yesu asia, no wadi confusion, reba. Enuna zisi ya, no, kosu, yu ya sinu. Now there was a man called Arius. I'm going to tell you about Arius and another man called Athanasius and what they stood for. Arius, he had a very large following. People were following him because of his doctrine or his belief about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said that Christ is also another of God's creation. That he was also created like us. But he was the first. He was the leader. That means he is not God, as the Bible. And he had a very large following. Even when Athanasius tried to attack him, trying to defend that there is Christ, it got to a point that Athanasius was expelled. He had to leave the church and go and stay outside the area for a very long time. But while he was there, he was still trying to convince people that what he's saying is true. It came to a point that they agreed, and then all the leaders met, and then they came to one conclusion that indeed Christ is God. That's what we call the Nicene Creed, because they met in a place called Nicaea. That's where all the leaders met and then declared that this Christ is indeed God. That's what we call it the Nicene Creed. That was in 325 AD. When Constantinople was there. And then this man will come again and attack and attack, and then they will meet again. They met about three times. Or sometimes they will agree, other times then they deny him. Then it came to a point that Athanasius was burdened. So he said, now I'm throwing a challenge before God. If I'm lying, God will take my life. If Arius is lying, God will take his life. And within 7 days, Arius was dead. He had a strong diarrhea. The whole nation don't know about this story. If they know, I don't think they will keep on defending that doctrine. He died to prove that what Athanasius was saying was true. It came to a point that it was Athanasius against the world, because all the leaders were following Arius. The American says, sir, of some another year, Nam assume be brave, so that die in Nipano. Or will be an inferno, Arius. Or not see, or any moon at the house is for no free. Or no, or beg yachin, Brandy, you are saying, I did say, yes, you young coupon, or no, or beg yachin, yes, you young coupon, or Jim Watching is Ama, or Ray and Oyat and Nations, I don't know what you're saying, yes, you young coupon. A unifier, sorry, you make public free area. Ekoswa ma fe die chire no penifone sa etia se ze na Athanasius no egusu e convincing penifone still with the scriptures to onbe tia se se afe die Yesu Nyakopon it is say the decree and no fe no Nicene Creed because omo ye no Nicaea chronoso and na e fe no the Apostles' Creed and them cause bebre am say omo ka I believe in God the Almighty, the Father. They keep on saying that was the creed that was agreed on, that Christ was indeed God. I feel the way nature no, or where is some baby by getting you bio, and I feel the coyote in the interfere the Athanasius Castle is a mean ambition tra, and rather give me freedom. So where else in the Ocean Trosua, you need freedom. Or can you actually be an Urania diarrhea? Or Rania and Odu? I feel the independent issue, and Sana on bed, and yet Athanasius like any Kenya you have this for. Or in Ojim, Emma, who said almost a church and almost chin, and you know, ain't you know, anybody bring attack it? Yes, you know, me, Nipedia. Miss Ziano, the best thing is, yet the Bible no ever to him. Hear who exactly who God, who Christ is, and what John means by John 1:14. Yes, you know, or not, as in John chapter 5, verse 23. Or say, so all that men should, or say, he said that the Father had given all judgment to the Son, so that all men shall honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Or be so chase or new Yankopon or Eye Bacon. And Tino Yankopon, the 2 million, one of the 4 million to me, and our brow yet will be a woman, will be in the home, Yawun, Yasimua, or Tenet. I will bet you on Yankopon, ask them, or be the authority of God. No. In another place, John 8, verse 58, he said that before Abraham was, I am. Just more kind of, before Abraham was, I am. And in the Jewish history, in the Bible, I am is one of God's titles, God's name. When he was sending Moses, and Moses asked him, when I go, what should I tell them? He said, tell them, I am. And Christ is saying that, before, why didn't he say that before Abraham I was? If he wanted to say that he wanted to say that he is God, so he said before Abraham I am. That is what God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 verse 14. Then let's come to John 10 verse 30. He said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. This is a very very important doctrine, so we'll go through scripture. So please bear with me if we are turning up and down so that you get a clear understanding. Then in John 14, verse 9, he told Philip that he who has seen me has seen the Father. This is all Christ Himself saying, all this. He who has seen me has seen the Father. The mission is a Bible, a shepherd say. Yankupon, yes, no, or one or Yankupon. Yes, no, Kasa, Nenum, ever John chapter 5, verse 23. Or soon Yankupon, Eddie Chumina, Ashenisa, said the Bea, Yasina, Ebemanu, and Nimonyam. And now John chapter 8, verse 38, and so I say, Asana, Brana, Asana, Abraham, Bebano, Namiho. Not the overlooker say, Sassimus, no, or Yankupon, Kachi Moses, ever Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Say, go and tell them that I am saved, which means the name of God. And at John 10, verse 13, you know, or say, I and my Father are many papa in our barcon. And at John 14, verse 9, so catch Philip is there, will be about whom we be are, or whom papa, he who has seen me has seen the Father. There are so many references in the Bible to prove that Jesus Christ is indeed the Lord. I will give you a few of those who are writing, so that when you go home, you can yourself. John 1:1, which we have read already. Then John 20, verse 28. Romans 9, verse 5. Titus 2, verse 13. 1 John 5, verse 20. But I think the clearest is Hebrews 1, verse 8. This Hebrews 1 verse 8 links to Psalm 45 verse 6. He says, unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God. Look at what he's saying. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. It is clear. If you go to Isaiah 9 verse 6, he said that when he will be called the Almighty, who can be called the Almighty? All these things are there to show that Christ is indeed God. Here he says, but unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now, apart from all these sayings, too, there are so many titles of God that Christ also used. Let's say Lord, especially when it's spelled with the capital L, Lord, is the same as Yahweh in the Old Testament. And Christ was given that name. In Isaiah 40, verse 3, then check with John 1:23, as we just read. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and 6. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Acts 2, verse 21. Then 4, verse 12. then Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. He is also called the Lord of glory in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. The Lord of glory. Christ was given that name. And then in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, God, in the same Revelation chapter 1, God said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Then a few verses after, goes to the verse 17. Jesus proclaimed that, I am he, I am the first and the last. You see, in the first verse, God says, I am the first and the last. Then in verse 17, Christ says, I am the first and the light. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, he said, again, Christ confirmed that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. See what this links with Isaiah chapter 4, chapter 41, verse 4. And also, there are some attributes of God, which we call incommunicable attributes. We have communicables, and we have incommunicable. Abodin said your tea, and you will be a unquan, a demon, and you will be in swa. It be fa, it be to me effa. It may be as in the end, it be effa, would be a two or muso. Titu, I am full. But on either of fa, it is only God who can bear that title. And Christ, when he was on earth, he also had the same titles. I'll give you a few of them. As we just read in John 1:1, he is eternal. Then he is omnipresent. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He's omnipresent means he's ever, everywhere. Wherever you go, God is there. Christ used that same title for himself. Then he is omnipotent, ever powerful. Philippians 3, verse 21. Then he is immutable. It means he never changed. That is in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10 to 12, and then 13, verse 8. He was also referred to as glorious in the same John that we read, chapter 1, verse 14, our text for this morning. Then 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8, Revelations 1, 13 to 16. And then he's sovereign. All these are non-communicable attributes of God, which Christ applied to himself. His sovereignty, Philippians 2, verse 13. And in Colossians 2, verse 9, Paul said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The mission is a body appear and go for one kuana, ye demand, if a beat me for man, yes, you edeman, HS, or ye unyanko pampa. A bini said, omnipresent, just say, oh, baby, tembian, or yawahe, or ha, ukofia, or baby, or kubian, or ho. Omnipotent, just say, oh, power, oh, to me, it to me, kesiapa. And immutable, on the set or tian or tea. When you know, your title say, I demand yanko pongwa, and so yes, you ediman. And a Paul, Eka said, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Nimu, and now, God, because the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, was in him, in bodily form. And now, there are some works that it is only God who could do, such as creating all that is. We just read in John chapter 1, verse 3, he created all things. Without him, there was nothing created. Then you go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12. Raising the dead, come to John chapter 5, verse 25 to 26. Overpowering Satan and all the spiritual forces, as we read in Ephesians chapter 6. Then forgiving sins, the most remarkable one. Who can forgive sins? When you ask the whole witness, they say, oh, it is just that God gave him the power to forgive sins. How can God do that? If I sin against somebody, it's not that same person who can forgive me. It can't be any other person else. It's the one that I've sinned against that can forgive me. So, once Christ is able to forgive sins, it means he is the one that we have sinned against, and he is God. The missionary said, it may be a one man, yes, we are here, we are here, we are here. Which is about the creation. Said the about the you can't John. John says say or no sooner and number if we are seeing in about the nearby. We need one man about the via anyhow. Said the it's many any power or no one it's many any power. Or more baby, we are seeing some of your prophets in big names now. I'm okay. Can one it's many any will be a room. You are no, they make you say and whatever about greater works. Saying that what Christ meant was that we can do more than what Christ did. Meanwhile, nobody even been able to walk on the sea or raise the dead. But Christ did it, which is only God who can do. So, in summary, you can never believe the New Testament and deny the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They go together. The whole Bible, even from Genesis to Revelation, is about Christ, who he is. Every picture, every type you see in the Old Testament was about him. So he came for us to see that, yes, this is how God looks like. So he is the eternal Word, as we read in the human flesh. He's as glorious as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see that verse 14 here, it connects to verse 1. And this is the last time that John uses the Word as a title for Jesus in all in his gospel. So he was trying to confirm that when he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that same Word, which was in the beginning, which was God, through him creation came, has become flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God is with us. That's the meaning of Emmanuel. Now God has come to dwell with us. So that is exactly what John 1:14 is saying. So this coming out, God coming in the form of Christ, is what John is describing. As and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And like I said before, without grace and truth, you can never have salvation. And he is the only one who, in whom there is grace, in whom there is truth. If Christ was not true, he would have died on Calvary. He could never have come back from Calvary. If there was a small sin in him, he wouldn't have come from Calvary. The fact that he came back from death proves that there's no sin in him. He's the truth. And the truth is only one. We can't have two truths. It is only one. And he has it. And there's grace. Grace means the demand of Christ, of God, no one can meet. When you go on, say the opposite, you are saying you are going to be anywhere here. You will be here, yes, sir. And you say, "Who can say who DM ran us to the air?" And you say, "Who can say who see who can walk and can't hear?" Because ran who will see me any? Will be anywhere here. You will be meeting ran us. So Christ has come to fulfill the law for us, so that when we believe in him, then we have everlasting life. This John 1:14. Explains exactly what happened on that day where now we call it Christmas Day. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, when the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, when they journeyed to Bethlehem, what happened there is what John is explaining here. Without what John is explaining, there will be no meaning to what happened there when they said Christ was born in Bethlehem. So John is telling us exactly what happened on that day. And the key words are grace and truth, the pillars of salvation. So now let's see the great certainties in this account. The first one is that Jesus became human. Jesus became human. That's the first one. The second thing is that Jesus lived among us. The third one is that Jesus revealed his glory. And then Jesus invites us to himself. So now let's look at the Jesus became human. What did John say? He said, the Word became flesh. Like I said, notice the link with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he said the Word had become flesh. That is why I always argue with people who don't believe that we don't have prophets in our days. Because this is exactly what he's saying in Hebrews. When he said, God has in the last days revealed, spoken to us through his Son. And his Son is the Word. So the Word is what we need, not anybody prophesying to anybody. Yesterday I witnessed some scene. My own daughter was getting married, and I was there, and some pastors, so-called pastors and apostles and prophets were there, and come and see the attitude there. You know, feelings big and all these things. And when it came to giving advice to the young lady, you know, as usual, they come in big form, talking big. So when it came to my turn, I told them that all what you are telling this girl and the husband, they can never understand if they are not saved. They can never understand. They can never apply it to their lives. All what the Bible is saying, and you are saying it to them, they can never apply to themselves, because they are not come to believe. So then when I told them that if you want to apply what the Bible is saying to your life, then you must be in the light of Christ. Because the Bible, as you are giving in marriage, is a manual. Use it in your marriage. But how can you use it when you don't understand it? How can you use a manual of a car to repair the car when you don't know how to repair a car? So you have to be saved for your conscience to be clear, to understand the scriptures and be able to apply it. Because if you don't understand it, telling them that you are the head and not the tail, no weapon formed against you, all those things, you know. And I was telling them, what you are saying cannot be true, because they are not saved. Tell them to be saved, then this can be applied to them. And people don't understand. And he's saying that the word is what we need, and the word is Christ. We need Christ until he comes. We don't need any prophecy. We don't need anything. Now he's saying that the word which already was, has now become flesh. In verse 1. Now temporary, he has come to us in history. Christ came to live with us. Furthermore, he said the word that was God. It's in the Bible. That's why the Jehovah's Witnesses have turned here to be a small God. But he's saying the word was God. You see, now has become a human being. Normally we say that Jesus is God. This is true. But the most incredible statement is God become Jesus of Nazareth. That is the no miracle that can be compared to this. That God himself, we have known his attributes, should come in the form of a human being, to be born by a sinful person, is the most incredible miracle that we can think about. So when in the morning of Luke chapter 2 verse 6, what he was saying is that God was announcing to the world that I have come. That is the message. God said, I have come. It is me. I'm the one standing there. Look at me. I am God. Pointing to Jesus Christ. Before we come to our next point, which is Jesus live among us, let's ponder a little bit about this very Christ becoming man. It means that all the attributes of God, as we have learned earlier on, his almightiness, his being immutable, omnipotent, omnipresent, God's mercy, God's love, name all of them, is now being moved in a human heart. Oyankopon ne niyama kese 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 ya posu ina afedie o danedi afa enipa ensaso. It's incredible, isn't it? God himself, all his attributes, now he is displaying them in the form of a human being. When we talk about God's Almighty, in the Bible, it is like El Shaddai, which means God all-powerful, or the mighty one of Jacob, as God said in Genesis chapter 49, verse 24. And then in Psalm 13, Psalm 132, verse 2 and 5. This is the Almighty God displaying through human hands, feeble hands. It's incredible. You see? So, what it means is that all these attributes that we talk about, he is displaying them in a human being's hands. God is powerful. He's unlimited. He can do anything he wants. He's sovereign. He's a sovereign king of kings. Psalm 115 verse 3 says, he spoke to the universe. In creation, he just spoke and it came into being. Now he's going to display all these things through a human being. It's incredible. There's nothing as incredible as this. The second thing is that he's going to also display his love, the love of God, to beat in the heart of a human. Christ is the one who came to display the love of God. Let me just go through scriptures. Let's see what really love, that when the Bible talks about love, what it means. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. This is what love is. And it goes on. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. This is God's description of love. And because God is love, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, this is what he is like. Is any human being like this? Has any human being got these qualities? It is only God. And now he displayed this through Christ, who was born by Mary. It's incredible that God, the omnipotent, is displaying all his attributes through a human being. This one is his love through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Romans 5 verse 8 says the same thing. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's no love that can be compared to this. It means Christ was showing us the love of God. So we can see that it is the greatest desire of God to be with him. That's why he came to pitch his tent with us. Now we can also talk about his wisdom. Now, God's wisdom is being spoken through human lips. God's wisdom, the wisdom of God. When we talk of God's wisdom, it's power. Wisdom is the power to see. This is how I define wisdom. Is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. No human being has this. It is only God. Because God knows the beginning to the end. He knows everything. Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral goodness. As such, it is found in its fullness only in God. He alone is naturally and entirely and invariably wise. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. It is only him. And now he's displaying this attribute in human form. Oyankopon de dikan ne kateyem se kate he is the almighty, the almightiness for the chairen afa enipa so ne dom e dra yankopon won no obi eni yase owo sa do ne bi or the afa enipa so chairen ti na yesu don of on be here the chairen obi a ya ene boni e yase ati han obi ene boni a won ne boni be che no but yesu die ye mo na ya ene boni no a o ye ti no bae no ye kunu no. Yes, you are small in Singapore. We need to be a small call for the first place. Jerusalem. A honor of Kunu, a honor of small call for no call. Say, I may never work because they want the mammon call because they are my madras. But that's where he sent his first disciples to go to. So the love that he came to display is love that it is only God who can show us. Now, his wisdom, Ninyansan, Shenyansan, and Yango Pondi Bo, you are here. She said, you are here. Said, they are for it, me, Baba, do baby, not a jay. It's what me talk, and I say it's what tall. I'm say a hiring now. Your home is what tall. Make what you want. You try to win now. Tall when you now. All these things people cannot just say and say. There's nothing. There's something behind all this. There's the sun, sunshine. We have the moon. We have the rainfall. We have seasons. All these things somebody must behind it, and it is the wisdom of God to do all this. And this is the wisdom that now God is showing to us through a man, and then his mercy. He's showing his mercy from the human point of view. Look at what Christ, how merciful he was. Like I've just explained, those who plan to kill him are the ones that he offered to save them from their sins. Now, I'm sure we can say confidently that God, Christ was God who was wrapped in human flesh from all these things that I've told you. Now let's come to our second point. Christ, Jesus lived among us. Notice the verse. He says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. See, the word dwelt literally means to pitch a tent. Or in theology they say to tabernacle. To tabernacle with us. In fact, if somebody comes to live among you in a community and he builds a strong wall around his house, what does it mean? It means he doesn't want to associate with you people. You see? But if he comes to erect just a tent, it means he wants to be with you. He may even sometimes share some of your things. You can come to him, he can come to you. And that's what Christ did. He came to pitch his tent among us so that we can have him and talk to him and deal with him. There's a man called Eugene Peterson. He was a Presbyterian minister. He was highly against the mass marketing of Christian evangelism, how people were making money of the word of God. And he wrote a book called The Message. It was a series. And that what he said in the book is that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. You see? So he walked down our street for 33 years. That's what the man is saying. Christ, God came to dwell with us for 33 years just to present the message to us. Now, the next thing is Jesus revealed his glory to us. John says that, and we beheld his glory. In other words, John is saying that we saw the glory with our own eyes. One of a kind glory. A glory that they have never seen before. When Christ was on earth, there were times that he showed his glory to people and they couldn't even look at his face. So we see Christ and we see the glory of God. So John says, we have seen him. We have seen. He is the word, means he has gazed at him. He has seen the glory. So when Christ actually came, he walked on the earth, people could see, people could gaze upon him, and then they could see God's presence shining through him. They saw the importance of God in their lives. So now, we come to our fourth one, which is Jesus invites us to himself. Why did he come? In the verse, he said he's full of grace and truth. This means he was generous inside and out and true from start to finish. Like I said, without grace, you can never get salvation. Without the truth, Christ will not qualify to give you salvation. So all these things, and the greatest person that everybody needs in this world is salvation. And like I said, salvation can only come out of grace and truth. So Christ was full of grace and truth, according to what John 1:14 is saying. So what does all this mean to us? If Christ was this or that, as I've explained, you may ask yourself, what does all these things mean to me? And there are so many implications that we can learn from it within the short time that we have. The first thing is that Jesus is here. He's here. Even now that you are here, he's with you. Because he's everywhere at every time. There's a short story here that I want to tell you about some two young men, two soldiers on a battlefield in the World War II. And they happened to be in the territory of their enemy, and they saw dead people and wounded all over. Then one of them, there were two of them, one of them said, "So where is God in all these things?" Because he sees that he's in danger. You know, when people are in danger, that's where they look for God. So they were asking, where is God? Because if God is there, why is it that I'm lying here and nobody is coming to me? And as they were talking and in fear, then they saw Red Cross people passing. See? So the Red Cross people came to pick two soldiers onto their stretch send them to safety. And then, so then that when he saw that the Red Cross people have come and taken them to safety, then he said, now he knows that there's God. That's exactly what we are saying now. Christ has come. He's with us. He has come to live with us. We can see him. We saw him. We saw his works. We saw everything he came to do. And he's calling you. The second thing is that Jesus is real. Jesus is not something that somebody has created or somebody has thought of. It is God who actually came to live with man. He was born by Mary. People have seen him, walk with him, eating with him. So he came to live with us, and he lives with us even up to now. Now, he wants to be involved. Like I said, if a man pitches a tent in the midst of your community, he wants to be involved. He wants to involve in your salvation. He wants to take you to God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come. So once he has come, he is involved in your salvation. He became touchable, approachable, and reachable. So we will be able to know. We'll be able to know. Thank you. Yes, I may be asking more. There's a story. Might be also or come back by someone share student to be. And the student, Nika Jen is there. So you have a Nakasa, Mamma Kasamina, Minini. So we'll catch a minute on Yakupon Nakasa, Mamma Minini. And I said, for Nakasa, oh, Yakupon, about 2,000 years ago, and Obay. Now still answer her. Then he told him about Christ. You know, and he was surprised to hear that. So Christ is here. He wants to be to be involved. He ate with people. He moved with people. And then he preached the word to people. The fourth thing is that Jesus identifies with our pain. Because he lived as a human being. He lived. He suffered. So he knows everything that we are going through now. He suffered loneliness. He was lonely so many times. He suffered rejection. Are you rejected? Are you lonely? He suffered sadness. There were times that Christ was very, very, very sad. He suffered physical abuse, mental abuse, because he became man. And because of this, he understands us. Everything that we are going through, Christ understands, because he has been through. The mission is there. Yes, you obey, we are saying no. If we are a tree, we are a bit of a dream, maybe now I say, Uncle Nam, a dream, maybe I say, Yakono, a dream, maybe now I say, Ariahua. They call him a man of sorrows. We'll be in the home of our go through Ariahua change, Jesus Christ. He was called a man of sorrows. And then he was abused and so many things, and yet he was able to bear them. He understands our problems, he understands our feelings, he knows our pain. And he is prepared to bear with us. And the last thing is that he offers grace. The only two things that you need, grace and truth, he offers them. And it's free. He's offering them to you free. Come. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He say, come. He's giving you grace. It is a free gift. Salvation is free. You can never, never, never earn it. There's nothing you can do to please God. Christ has done all what you need to do, and he give it to you free. And kwajie obi ne hono obi my papa ikuya kuzi onyamuko ni beso na obama no en kwajie yesu aye de sisi nyina amaye de bisa obaye an se obajie di en no kan no John 3:16 so for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So now Jesus came, and he personally comes to each one of us, offering grace and truth. The only things that we need, he's offering them free. He didn't stand at a distance somewhere. He would have done that, but he came, because like one pastor said, Christ is God. So he could have summoned all these experiences to himself while he is in heaven. He didn't need to come here, but for our sakes, for we to see that yes, this is God. He has come to do all these things to him. And now he's calling you to come, and he will save you. This is the message of the Bible. Come. When you are saved, there's no situation. You see, when you are saved, because you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, God is indwelling in you, seeing you through this life. So the main thing is salvation. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and other things shall be added unto you. Seek him. He is offering you to you free. Don't waste time. There will be a time that there won't be an opportunity again. It will be too late. This is the time. Come to him and he will save you. That the question is, will you come to him? Will you come or will not come? It is a decision that you have to take. But my advice is that come to him now. Give your life to him. Pray that your sins will be forgiven you and you become born again.